Happy Thursday out there, everybody. April 30th, 2020. That sounds loud. Let me turn it down a little bit. Pain in the morning? Yeah, that sounds better. Pain in the morning. Lots of news, lots of things going on. Today, Thursday, last day of the month for you folks who may not know how many days are in each month. And the next day would be Friday, May 1st, I think, if I remember the month that comes after April. You know, when you're locked up in the house, you can forget what the calendar looks like, right? We got to break out of this house arrest soon. People are ready to lose it. So there's a lot of... We got some news for you to read tonight. And I say tonight only because it's nighttime and it's the morning. It's Thursday morning, early Thursday morning. I guess that's why they call it pain in the morning, right? There's a lot of crazy things going on. Just some quick headlines I saw that I'm not going to go into the stories because they are not prepped for me. But Nashville considers a 32% tax hike, property tax hike. Is that going to play out in your town? These bureaucrats better hope not. What the hell would you need to raise 30% property tax hike for so you can pay all the bureaucrats, right? Yeah, that's not going to go over well. That's a good way to have your city burnt to the ground. Take, right? Why don't you take some money from the really, really, really rich people if you want to take money I'm not saying take money from anybody. I don't really subscribe to that. But why are you always picking on the middle class? Property tax, 32%. Can you believe that? Probably play out in other towns. I could see that playing out where we live in Pennsylvania. These people are lost in space, these local bureaucrats. When I covered local politics for years, I mean, I see these guys on Twitter, these Twitter journalists. Ooh, I'm covering the White House, and I'm covering the FBI, and I'm covering this, and I'm in the White House, and I've been a journalist for 2 years, and I got my White House press pass, and I'm on journalism. Investigative journalism, and I'm on Patreon. I have all these followers. I'm making a lot of money. And I say to myself, do you even understand how government works? Like, I'm not saying you have to come all the way up from the bottom to understand how it works, but I think I spent 8 years covering local meetings. Planning board meetings, zoning board meetings, supervisor meetings, town council meetings, probably close to 10 years for small newspapers working my way up, dealing with mayors and dealing with lawyers, township council, and trying to break stories on the township level, right? That's old school, I guess. You know, you start out local, and then I moved up to state government, was covering the governor's office, and then you work your way up to D.C. You don't just show up, you know? You just don't show up like some hot runaway teenager in New York City or California, expect to make it overnight. You know, that kind of thing. So I get a kick out of these folks because they really don't understand what they're doing, and yet they have put themselves on a pedestal, mostly put themselves on a pedestal to be able to guide you and provide news to you, right? Would you let a blind person drive you around town? I don't think so. Not unless it was Al Pacino instead of a woman. Hoo-ah! Okay, so let's get started. Well, I saw another headline. Oh, real quick, shout out to everybody on patreon.com/truepundit. We're doing a video podcast. I guess that's what it's called. Is it still considered a podcast? I don't know what the hell. Video podcast of this for subscribers on patreon.com/truepundit. And I like to read all the comments during the day of folks who comment on the news and share things. It's something I've actually been looking forward to on a daily basis to try to pick up the vibe and the pulse of what's going on. And we appreciate the support. And if you want to support us, that's how you do it for now. But everything changes, folks. Right, we keep growing, and things are gonna change when this pandemic is over, or perhaps sooner. There's a lot of stuff going on here because of the numbers we're getting, and people seem to like the message, and I'm happy to keep trying to provide it, along with a little bit of humor, a little bit of snark and sarcasm, and sometimes more than a little bit. So I saw another headline on here that was a little bit disturbing. Just real quick, I was scanning stuff. Of course, there's stuff going on with General Flynn, but you can pretty much get the flavor of that on Twitter and most other places. That's nothing really exclusive to us. And still, nothing really has come out this week that indicates what's going to happen with that whole mess, so... I'm sure his camp is waiting for some kind of guidepost from the White House or DOJ, but I haven't seen anything, and we'll keep monitoring that. But that's easy to also for you guys to monitor because it's a main topic and it's pretty much everywhere right now. And we wish the general and his family, especially his wife, is trying to hold everything together. It always falls on the wife. And I know from experience, and the wife is always the unsung hero in these situations. And they, in my experience, really hold things together and put a lot on their shoulders. So I have a soft spot for the women that that are behind the scenes in these situations, like a Mrs. Roger Stone or a Mrs. Paul Manafort, that kind of thing, or a Mrs. Mike Moore. And, or Mrs. Mike Flynn. So I always ask people, how's the wife doing? And they're like, I don't know what you mean by that. Why would you ask that? It's like, well, because I have different insight than most people. That's why you ask questions that other people don't ask. Plus, who the hell wants to be the guy who asks the same questions every other dope asks? Not me. I like to mix it up a little bit. So, okay, let's get started. I did the plugs, right? TruePundit.com, everybody. If you're listening to this for the first time, you might not know that, but you can find our print material on TruePundit.com. I'm on Twitter at Thomas1774Payne, and we're at Twitter at True_Pundit. There. First headline. I'm sure I missed something, but we'll have to come back to it. First headline. Early results of coronavirus drug trial show improvement with shorter remdesivir treatment. I'm brutal with medical names and big pharma names. You know that, right? By now. It's like, English is a second language for me. I just got off of a flight, and I don't know any English in your country. So whenever I'm reading these things, I sound like a maniac. Gilead Sciences said Wednesday, Preliminary results of a coronavirus drug trial showed at least 50% of patients treated with a five-day dosage of remdesivir improved, and more than half were discharged from the hospital within 2 weeks. Company also said another trial by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases met its main goal. Whoa, you know who runs that place? Dr. Fauci. Yikes. Wow. They probably prepped this story and put it here first to try to send me over the edge. Right? These guys are getting good. They're getting good. I think that they might have a poll on how fast I can come unglued on a regular. Yes, yesterday I had a lot of fun. You know, and I got an email, a message from some guy. This is funny. He's not going to follow the podcast anymore. Because the message was, I've gone off the rails. And he dropped a couple F-bombs in it too, right? And I'm thinking, that seems like a good reason to watch the video podcast on patreon.com/truepundit. If I've gone off the rails, I mean, what the hell else are you watching that's more interesting than that? A man coming unglued. This isn't Hollywood. This is real life. This is like reality TV. I'm sorry that he has left, and I'm sure that someone else will step in his place and hopefully enjoy my delivery style. The study tracked two groups of patients who were hospitalized with COVID-19. One group received a five-day treatment of remdesivir, while the other group took the drug for 10 days. The researchers said more than half of the patients in both treatment groups were discharged from the hospital within 14 days. They said 64.5% of the patients who received the shorter treatment were discharged, compared with 53% of the group who were treated for 10 days. Remdesivir has shown some promise in treating SARS and MERS, which are caused by coronavirus. Some health authorities in the U.S., China, and other parts of the world have been using remdesivir, which was tested as a possible treatment for Ebola outbreak, in hopes that the drug can reduce the duration of COVID-19 patients. So there we have it on that. I'm sure Gilead's stock went up after that came out. We'll keep an eye on that drug. Remdesivir. Sounds like a rash you might get after, you know, a good night out on the town. Wake up with the next morning. What's the matter with Tony? Why is he in the bathroom? He's got the remdesivir. Oh, yeah, the remdesivir. I told him about not protecting himself. Trump signs executive order to prevent a meat shortage. This has like become the meat channel, okay? Irish, German, Polish heritage, right? Have you ever met an Irish, German, Polish vegetarian? No. You have a better chance in finding a rainbow-colored unicorn than you would an Irish, German, Polish vegetarian. So, we are focused on meats all the time. For good reason, too, right? During this particular challenges we have, putting meat on our table and now finding meats. But President Trump is probably a little bit late to the party here, better late than never, so to speak. President Trump on Tuesday declared meat processing plants critical infrastructure in an effort to ensure the facilities around the country remained open as the government tried to prevent looming shortages of pork, chicken, and other products as a result of the coronavirus. In an executive order, issued late Tuesday, Mr. Trump said recent closures of meat processing facilities threaten the continued functioning of the national meat and poultry supply chain, undermining critical infrastructures during the national emergency. Over the past few weeks, meat executives have complained that they have faced pressure from local authorities to close plants. We've been tried and convicted already in certain spaces, Steve Stouffer, a Tyson executive, said in an interview this month. You know what? We'll get to it in a minute. In some cases, local health authorities have ordered plants to close, or companies have agreed to take such steps after the pressure from state officials. Some shuttered plants have already started to reopen. Last week, JBS resumed production of its beef plant in Greeley, Colorado, after deep cleaning the facility and asking workers to stay in quarantine for 2 weeks. Guys, if you're out there getting hassled by state workers and states and local workers, might be time to look for a more friendly place to do business. Easier said than done, but if these people don't appreciate you, you don't get the taxables. And you can stare at old rusty buildings that no one's going to lease in your township, and you can stare at lost revenue from the workers parking their cars in your in the parking lots and going to lunch and buying groceries and frequenting the local businesses in that town. Don't take crap from these people. It's ridiculous. Everybody now who ever had a appointed government job, even the dog catcher is out hassling people. If President Trump, if you want to really get things moving when you sign this executive order, let's get Pelosi and McConnell and Schiff and all these guys, right? Put a white apron or a white beef coat on these people and make them work in the warehouse, right? Let's see them work in the warehouse. Let's go. If they're short on workers, these dummies in Congress are still getting paid and they're not doing anything. Put them in the meat warehouse. Let's go. Chop, chop. No pun intended. Can you imagine Pelosi back in the meat warehouse with like a cleaver? I mean, I'm sure she wields a cleaver on a regular basis, but that's personal. But can you imagine her? My chocolates. I have to take a break. When can I take a break? I love my chocolates. These people. And you know why they act this way? They never had a job. They never had a real job. They're like, they might as well have been dropped out of a spaceship. That's how much world experience these people have. They're making decisions for us. What could go wrong? Coronavirus hits U.S. meat supply and boneless chicken is first to go scarce. Okay. I'm not going to tell people again that I've been on the meat story for 3 or 4 weeks. Well, apparently the USDA was booking trips on Carnival Cruise or something. I don't know where these people have been. Shouldn't the people that we pay and entrust with looking out for us as Americans, shouldn't they give us a heads up? Hey, there's going to be a meat shortage. Hello? You know? Food retailers across North America are swapping boneless chicken legs for less popular thighs and drumsticks as a wave of shutdowns at meatpacking plants has reduced supplies of sought-after cuts. Swapping boneless chicken legs for less popular thighs and drumsticks. Look out. Quebec-based Good Food Market Corp, which delivers meals on a subscription basis, is a quote here. Poultry suppliers are still facing labor shortages and many of them operating less than 50% of their regular workforce. They're operating with a lot less chickens, too, after this week. They put the wood to 2 million chickens in Delaware. They've been slicing and dicing hundreds of thousands of chickens all over other parts of the country. To ensure the essential supply of chicken for Canadians across the country, the poultry industry as a whole is shifting away from deboning chicken legs to increase their production capacity. Wow, okay, so this also has to do with the U.S. That's just a little vignette of what's going on in Canada with chicken, but you can guarantee you that there will be poultry repercussions here as well. New meat selection. Grocers generally are accepting cuts of meat that require more cutting by the in-house butchers to keep their meat counters as full as possible. Grocers are trying to find a way to sell so-called end cuts from the leg or trunk that consumers may be unfamiliar with. Oh boy. That includes promoting the idea of grilling marinated round sticks from the leg of a cow on the barbecue to make it more tender, Young said. Here we go. MeatExperiments.com should be the name. Honey, go down to the store and get me 10 pounds of end cuts. What? No one's ever said that before, except maybe Bill Clinton. Larger packages. Consumers in grocery stores around the world might notice larger packages of meat instead of individual steaks or smaller portions, said the head of Cargill's protein and salt business. While the company's plants primarily produce the same products for retail and food service, they might cut or package them slightly differently, he said. So basically, this, if you translate this, you have to buy meat now and you have to be the butcher. Oh, you want a round roast? Okay, there's an 8-pound one. Oh, 8 pounds. I'm not feeding a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Well, take it home and chop it up. And you're at home. You're like Googling. You're Googling how to butcher beef, and you're being listed in some database. And your listening devices have been notified that there might be a nefarious homicidal maniac on the loose. We got him. We got him. Turn that Alexis on. Is that the name of it? Alexis or whatever? I don't even pay attention to those things. Everybody in my family has them. Like, we love that. We ask the questions. I said, yeah. Yep. Not in my house. Okay, interesting stuff. On the meat front, right? I'm going to say it again because I've been saying it every day for probably a month on different forums that folks are kind enough to follow us on. Get out there and get some meat. Pronto. All right. Here we go. Dr. Fauci-backed controversial Wuhan lab with millions of U.S. dollars for risky coronavirus research. If you haven't listened to episode 21, you should, of the podcast. And there's a lot of information about Dr. Fauci, a lot of dishing more dirt with some experts on him. And also, dropped a number of bombs on an emerging scandal. Chinese Harvard medical scandal that's going to be probably ongoing. We have a lot of stuff going on here. Just last year, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the organization led by Dr. Fauci, funded scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology and other institutions for work on gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be gaining a function of my bats, my baseball bats, if you guys don't wise up. In 2019, with the backing of NIAID, National Institute of Health committed $3.7 million over 6 years of research that included some gain of function work. Program followed $3.7 million 5 year project for collecting and studying bat coronaviruses, which ended in 2019, bringing the total to $7.4 million Fauci paid to this place. Fauci controls a lot of money, folks. He really does, and so does the National Institute of Health. If these guys don't like you and you're a research doctor, you don't get any money, which means you're no longer a researcher. You might take up sketching or oil painting or something like that. You find yourself living in a flat or a studio apartment, eating SpaghettiOs, waiting for your big break after hiding out from creditors because you're still trying to pay off your student loans from med school because a tyrant like Fauci has deemed you persona non grata. It's all fun and games until you eat SpaghettiOs, mac and cheese, ramen pride noodles, jam on bread for 30 days. Which actually doesn't sound that bad right now. It's not actually, that would be somewhat of a balanced diet right about now. That's a lot of money. Many scientists have criticized gain of function research, which I think we can make gain of function breakthroughs right here. Just by leaving the house, we can gain back the basic functions of our entire life and existence. That's how we can gain of function research, which involves manipulating viruses in a lab to explore their potential for infecting humans because it creates a risk of starting a pandemic from accidental release. Are you guys listening to this? What? This is like a script for what's going on. Wait a minute. You could have gotten, Fauci could have bought this script for a lot less on any unemployed writer's site. This is like basically the story plot of every bad creature double feature movie. And he's shelling out $7.4 million. I wonder if that comes with the movie rights. The NIH research consists of two parts. The first part is The first part began in 2014 and involved surveillance of bat coronaviruses and had a budget of $3.7 million to surveil bats. The program, funded by Shai Zheng Li, a virologist at the Wuhan lab, and other researchers to investigate and catalog bat coronaviruses in the wild. This part of the project was completed in 2019. Not sure if I follow a lot of this story. Seems to be trying to spin that everything's about bats and everything. It's not necessarily coming out that way in reality with the feds, but I understand what they're trying to do here. You know, you have to be able to read a story and understand part of this might be complete bullshit. They're covering for something else. And once you can read a story like that and have that degree of inert questioning, inert instinct, inert understanding that some of the stuff you might be reading is true, but some of the stuff in the same article may not be true. Then you're able to basically flag stuff like this. So I'm not saying it's not true, but all of a sudden they're going pretty heavy on the narrative with the bats. When I think most of the narratives in the quote unquote news marketplace are going away from that at this point. That's something to put on your resume. I was in China for 3 years surveilling bats. Oh, you were a baseball scout? No. Cave bats. Yeah, Don't call us. We'll call you. A second phase of the project beginning that year included additional surveillance work, but also gain-of-function research for the purpose of understanding how bat coronaviruses could mutate to attack humans. NIH canceled the project just this past Friday, April 24th. Wow. Fauci's getting a little nervous. Starts pulling the plug on the projects, right? He's going Captain Queeg on us. He's got the strawberries in the fridge. Look it up, kids. A decade ago, during a controversy over gain-of-function research on bird flu viruses, Fauci played an important role in promoting the work. He argued that the research was worth the risk it entailed because it enables scientists to make preparations such as investigating possible antiviral medications that could be useful if and when a pandemic occurred. Great. Why don't we have any of those antiviral medications now, Fauci? I mean, if it's going to be useful when a pandemic occurred and we're spending all this money, where the hell are they? Fauci's the kind of guy, if you hung out with as a kid and you were building something with like Lincoln Logs, okay, and you were over there working and making your Lincoln Logs, trying to make a nice house, and he would just sit there and watch you and do nothing or sketch it out on paper and then be like, I'll build mine later. Be like, don't you want to build it now? Well, let me see what everybody else builds, and then I'll build it. And then you leave to go play outside or something, ride your bike, or to try to jump a couple cars in the street with your Huffy or your bike, fly off a skateboard ramp like Evel Knievel. And he doesn't build anything. He starts playing with the stuff you built. Seen this guy a million times in government. Total menace. The world. So basically, this is insane. The work entailed risks that worried even seasoned researchers. No, really? More than 200 scientists called for the work to be halted. The problem, they said, is that it increased the likelihood that a pandemic would occur through a laboratory accident. Yeah, but that's what they wanted, obviously. They were funding this. This is like a dry run. That's how I see it. This guy should be indicted. You'll notice what I said yesterday. I haven't seen him around the White House lately. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on that, based on what I said yesterday. If you didn't hear what I said yesterday, on episode 21, you should listen to it. In 2014, under pressure from the Obama, how long are we going here? 33, that's not bad. 2014, under pressure from the Obama administration, National Institute of Health instituted a moratorium on the work, suspending 21 studies. Wait a minute. 3 years later, in December 2017, the NIH ended the moratorium, and the second phase of the NIAID project, which included the gain-of-function research, began. So they put the skids on it under Obama, and then Fauci was able to bullshit somebody in 2017 in the Trump administration, maybe even Trump himself, and they restarted it back up. Yikes. We have to take a closer look at that. That sounds like it could shape up to be a massive scandal. New headline. If you haven't had enough of that, yikes. I would say this is probably the key story of the day. And not just because they wrote that in the margin. Wuhan laboratory is the most likely the coronavirus source, U.S. government analysis finds. Now, keep in mind, this is not 100%, right? When it's most likely in quotes, it's most likely right, but it most likely could be wrong. Welcome to journalism in 2020. A Wuhan laboratory is the most likely source of the COVID-19 outbreak now ravaging the globe, according to the U.S. government analysis that catalogs the evidence and concludes that other explanations for the origin of the coronavirus are less credible. There is no smoking gun to blame the virus on either the Wuhan Institute of Virology or the Wuhan branch of the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention, both located in the city where the first outbreaks were reported. Where did it start? The local Wuhan Baskin-Robbins? But there is circumstantial evidence to suggest such may be the case. Who wrote this? Captain Obvious? Does he have his red coat on and his captain's hat? All other possible places of the virus origin have been proven to be highly unlikely, the document concludes. Chinese authorities have said the origin of the virus is unknown, but initially stated that it came from animals at a wet market in Wuhan, where exotic meat is butchered and sold. They said the virus may have jumped from bats to animals sold at the market last year and then infected humans. Yeah, that sounds like probable, right? It jumped from bats to animals to humans. It's like Bill Clinton when he's in heat. If you talk to people, that doesn't make any sense. People in the know. Chinese were selling. I don't think anybody was buying that. The government analysis says the animal host explanation doesn't hold up well because the first human diagnosis of COVID-19 was for a person who had no connection to the wet market. According to reports from China, no bats were sold at the market. Guys can't even get their story straight. The most logical place to investigate the virus origin has been completely sealed off from the outside inquiry by the CCP. That's a fancy acronym for the Communist People's Republic of China, or the Chinese Communist Party, I guess it's probably CCP is Chinese Communist Party. A gag order to both places was issued on January 1st, 2020, and a major general from the PLA, who is China's top military microbiologist, essentially took over the Wuhan Institute of Virology since mid-January. Yes, that's the same time that the feds arrested and indicted Dr. Charles Lieber at Harvard. They brought in this flunky from the Chinese military to take over. Both of the labs under scrutiny in the report have conducted extensive research on bat coronaviruses, including those that have close molecular similarities to SARS-CoV-2, the full designation of the new pathogen. I'm telling you, they're selling this bat stuff. This comes from the Washington Times and it comes from Gertz, who I've respected for a while, but he is pushing this bat thing real heavy. And it has me scratching my head because a lot of feds are saying this is not from a bat. If I'm missing something here and I'm putting words in his mouth, I apologize, but every time I turn around, okay, there's more bats in this story than in a bingo parlor. Old bats story than in a bingo parlor. Give us the marble rye, you old bat. Among the most significant circumstantial evidence identified in the report are the activities of Shai Zhengyi, a leader in bat coronavirus research with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, China's only high security level 4 research lab. medical doctor named Wu Zinahu launched an online campaign to expose Miss Xi's work. Wu Zinahu, that's a lot of fun to say. The document also points to a 2015 academic report in Nature Medicine. I don't know how this turned into a he said, she said battle. All of a sudden, I think I feel like I'm on a game show. Is this a Survivor? Survivor China. Dr. Wu asserted that the Institute's virus-carrying animals had been sold as pets. Hey. In the United States, we have Take Your Kid to Work Day, and in China, they have Take Your Virus-Carrying Animals Home Day, from the lab Home Day. You know, which makes a lot of sense when you understand how they treat daughters and girls in China. Yeah, I wonder if that'll catch on here. Take your virus-carrying animals from work home day. That'd be a big hit. Hey, daddy's home. Oh, my God. Says dead laboratory animals were not properly disposed of, and lab workers were known to boil and eat laboratory-used eggs. Well, hey. Easter time and everything. Sometimes it's hard to find the yellow chicks. It's hard to find a good Paz set where you can color eggs. So they started out as white eggs. Sure, they're green and brown and yellow now after they've been in the lab. Egg is an egg. Which came first, the chicken or the stomach cancer? Ms. Xi has worked closely with several U.S. virologists, and some American scientists have defended her and the Institute from critics who point to her work with bat viruses as a needed focus of an investigation. Hey, I wonder if Fauci is one of them. I don't know. Several U.S. virologists. Ms. Xi has worked closely with several U.S. virologists, and some American scientists have defended her. That sounds like it's a reference to Fauci. I don't know if Bill Gertz wrote this, but it's from the Washington Times, and nobody else there would be able to put this together, so I'm assuming that he wrote it. Been around a long time. Been at the Washington Times covering national security since 1985. My memory serves me correctly. Again, I read these things with a grain of salt. Because some of the stuff that I've received privately doesn't necessarily jive with this. So keep that in mind. I'm not saying who is right and who is wrong, but we don't know who is right and who is wrong. So you have to balance the information out. This is a long piece. But it's worth going over point by point just to make terrible puns and jokes. If for no other reason. No, seriously. Another piece of circumstantial evidence cited in the paper is the mysterious disappearance of Huang Yangling. Those seeking the origin of SARS-CoV-2 suspect, the laboratory worker is patient zero, the first human known infected with the virus. Huang Yangling. Huang worked at the Wuhan lab, but she is the only Wuhan employee whose biography profile picture has been deleted by the Wuhan lab on its website, fueling speculation of foul play. No, not in China, right? Foul play? Are we back talking about the chickens? Oh, no, the other foul play. I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about bats. China in March imposed restrictions on all publications regarding the origin of the virus. Yeah, the restrictions that China imposed on the Chinese media and press is if you write anything they don't like, you will be injected with the coronavirus on the spot. Vaccine? No, with the virus. So they got that going for them. Yeah, well, they're building antibodies. Chen Wen. Some of these names are really fun to say. A senior Chinese diplomat in Britain. Chen Wen is at high tea saying, well, things are really dodgy over there, aren't they? Told the BBC on Friday that China has rejected international calls for an investigation into the virus. He said the demands were politically motivated in an attempt to divert China's attention to fighting the pandemic. I think they spelled creating wrong. Enough of that story. It goes on and on and on. I think Gertz, it reads like a book, for fuck's sake. Get to the point. U.S. intel officials believe 45,000 corpses were incinerated in one fortnight in Wuhan. For those folks who don't know what a fortnight is, and besides that it is a video game of some type, a fortnight means 2 weeks. From literature, unless the definition has changed and the fortnight no longer categorizes itself as a fortnight. Sees itself more as just a week. Or whatever. Everybody has their own self-designation. I don't want to be a fortnight anymore. I want to be a week. Okay. Hey, what the hell? U.S. intelligence officials believe that the true scale of China's coronavirus outbreak is at least 50 times worse than the communist state is admitting to, and that 60,000 dead bodies per month could have been processed by the funeral homes in Wuhan. Trump administration official told the PRC numbers, as reported today, seem to be arithmetically impossible. Arithmetically? What? Am I even saying that right? That's just awkward to say. That's not as fun to say as some of those Chinese names. Again, we don't know the real numbers today, but we do know about 80,000 infections and 4,000 deaths as reported by the Chinese communist government propaganda are not even remotely close, the officials added. Yeah, the 4,000 deaths are just the people in the media over there. It's believed that the U.S. intelligence has in its possession satellite images showing funeral homes in Wuhan overwhelmed by dead bodies. Officials, but they could be Democrats. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell with satellite photos. Officials believe that incinerators have been in constant use for 24 hours a day since the outbreak began. The intelligence sources have noted that in a two-week period between March 23rd and April 4th, over 500 urns were delivered to the Wuhan families every day, which equates roughly to one urn per minute, which would be something else, really. U.S. intelligence therefore calculates a conservative estimate of 45,500 corpses having been incinerated during that time. It's probably more than that, guys, right? That's a lot of people, but it still seems pretty low. No, I'm not going to make any urn puns, you know what I mean? It's a fun word to make puns with, but that's, you know, it's somewhat serious here. I mean, this is a you don't know what's going on in China, okay? That's the problem. And we obviously don't have very good intelligence in China on the ground because look how long it took us to figure out what the hell was going on over there. It's not easy to develop humint, H-U-M-I-N-T, humint intelligence in radical communist countries like this, it's not the easiest thing in the world. Although, if you do spread money around, you tend to get pretty good sources. If you grease the skids, it works. 49 minutes. Okay, let's see what we got left. This looks like a fun story. We'll end it here after insanity. Washington and Serenity now, insanity later. Insanity. Washington State came one vote away from releasing Green River serial killer so he wouldn't get the Wuhan virus. That's interesting. You know, seems like a good trade-off. Save a serial killer from the virus and cut him back loose on back on society. This is great. This is filed under in Craigslist under John Wayne Gacy and weekend birthday, Wuhan birthday parties. The man we now know as the Green River Killer, Gary Ridgway, was sent to prison for more than 500 years. What the hell is going on in Washington State? Is this America or not? Put a needle in this guy's arm. Strap him to an electric chair. Get a car battery and some jumper cables. Do something. 500 years we got to feed this guy for? If you're going to make a commitment to punishment for a serial killer, I mean, let's ramp it up. It's embarrassing. What's the guy making blankets in prison? He's like crocheting blankets and he found Jesus. That's like his, a lot of these guys are, you know, I'm not besmirching them, but these guys, the killers are always the guys who find Jesus. The trick is to find him before you start killing people. Try that next time. Save you a lot of trouble. And maybe there'd be more people. This guy can... He was convicted of 49 murders of prostitutes, girls on the streets, and runaways. Wait a minute. Are we sure this he wasn't in Washington, D.C.? Instead of Washington State. When I see prostitutes, what a country. So this guy kills 49 people and... Oh, and he was suspected of committing 71 murders in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. That's a lot of murders. Where's this from? You know, all these stories are on True Pundit on the Pain in the Morning story with the date. So it'll be Pain in the Morning Day 4:30. I want to find out where this is from. It's like kind of reading like a crime novel. It's an interesting way to frame a story. He would take the women and girls, have sex with them, and then strangle them, watching the light go out of their eyes as he squeezed the life out of them. Sometimes he'd use a rope, and sometimes he'd use his bare hands. He'd pose their bodies and sometimes come back and have sex with their corpses. His first victims were found in the Green River, giving the monster his moniker. We're going to let this guy out? I mean, I know Washington is a liberal state, but this is a little ridiculous. This guy, you know? You know you're in trouble when he asks the... it's like the Shawshank Redemption. If the guy asks for some rope from the wood shop or the workshop, and then he's talking about getting out the next day, and he leaves the prison with some rope, you're in trouble. This guy is a real menace. He was arrested in the 80s, but let go for lack of evidence. What kind of lack of evidence? God, what's going on out there? You guys have DNA? It's Washington State. They probably had a rope lineup. They had two convicted ropes and three stand-ins from Lowe's and Home Depot. Okay, so he was arrested in the 80s, let go for lack of evidence. A task force was formed to track down the serial killer in 2001. Decades and multiple victims later, Gary Ridgway was busted again and confessed to 71 murders. A legal activist group, Columbia Legal Services, began agitating for inmates over 50 years old to be set free to save them from the virus. Ridgway, 71 years old. Hey, that's 1 year for everybody he killed. That's one hell of a birthday cake. Q13 News reports prosecutors argued in court that the petitioner's Columbia Legal Services demand that two-thirds of the prison population be released into the community, a number which includes serial killers and capital murderers. Hey, this is a killer virus, okay? What better way to fight it than put killers on the fucking streets? We need to get down to this virus's level. We need to beat this virus at its own game. Among the killers to possibly be released besides the Green River killer was Isaac Zamora, a multiple murderer who went on a shooting rampage and killed five people. He's serving a life sentence. On Thursday, the Washington State Supreme Court ruled that those real... What is going on in Washington? The Washington State Supreme Court ruled that, quote, really bad people, unquote, including the Green River killer, would face the coronavirus locked up like everyone else in the country. Hold on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Washington State Supreme Court. Thank you. The vote was 5-4. What the hell? But... A tight vote. I mean, this Green River killer has got one of the best lobbies I've ever seen. 5-4. That means four of the Washington State Supreme Court justices were ready to empty the state prisons of two-thirds of the prisoners, including Gary Ridgway. Damn, Gary, you were so close. We could use a guy like this, fighting this virus, we could use a guy like Gary Ridgway. Maybe if you're going to let Gary Ridgway loose, change Washington's. Cut him loose in D.C. Oh, man. That's it for today. We will see you on Friday. The week is flying. If you like our news, we appreciate you visiting True Pundit and checking out the news we have there. It's been a busy few weeks, and they will continue to be busy in the near future with everything going on. And I hope everybody's out there is taking care of themselves and hanging in there as best as they can, and trying to find some serenity and some peace amid all the changes and the chaos of our society and our lives and the uncertainty and the anxiety. You're able to take a step back and focus on things that are important that previously maybe you didn't think were important. I know I've been able to do that. So we appreciate all the support on patreon.com/truepundit. I went 58 minutes. I guess we'll just try to do an hour of news every day. I don't have a problem reading the news. I like reading the news, messing around and having a few laughs. It makes me feel better to be able to laugh, because most of the stuff that comes over my desk during the day and through here, we don't get a lot of laughs. But damn it, don't anybody out there get a strange idea that Gary Ridgway would make a good prison pen pal. I'm going to suggest against that and put the disclaimer out that we had nothing to do with that, okay? If you're thinking about it, if you want to spice up your house arrest, start writing this guy in prison to see where that goes. Just make sure you use Nancy Pelosi's address, return address. So take care. We'll see you guys tomorrow. And thanks for everything. And we appreciate it. And hang in there and be good. Take care.